the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's time, anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening in socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. And yes, it is not a mistake that on the weekend before Valentine's Day, we are talking about kickoff upcoming? Really? This is going to happen, isn't it?
Stay by then.
So here we go. All things Bison football tonight.
In February. Not September.
Craziness has ensued in the FCS level, but welcome to the show tonight. If you're looking for breaking down Summit League basketball, this isn't your night.
No.
If you're looking to break down Tom Brady tossing the trophy to Cameron Brady in a boat while Tom Brady was slightly
intoxicated,
that's not happening tonight. And if you're looking for a way too early prediction for the draft class of 2021, look us up in a few weeks. Tonight, it's about
the herd,
the thundering herd, and the upcoming FCS season. Here's how we're going to do it. Tonight, we break down the NDSU roster. We go through offense, defense, special teams. We'll talk about the schedule, and we'll just talk about all things Bison internally. Monday on the show, President's Day, we will break down the Missouri Valley. So the opposition for the herd playing the conference schedule. And then next Thursday, we will do our FCS preseason top 25, our early predictions for the brackets, which are down to 16 teams this year. And of course, preview the opener against Youngstown State, which will be the two Sundays, which we're two Sundays away now. We're a Sunday and a half away.
Sunday. Just the date alone is just weird.
But we'll have a chance. That means on Saturday of that week, we'll have a chance to watch all the other Valley teams play. Well, except Western Illinois and South Dakota. Western Illinois, shocking that our friends in Macomb have already gotten COVID. Stunner. So the Macomb Country Club presumably will not be available that weekend. So change your reservations now. But keep in mind also that as we go and break down the Bison this year, they're already 1-0.
Yes.
Okay? The game played back in October, the 39-28 win over Central Arkansas, that counts. So for purposes of this season, the Bison do have a win already on the board. And that could come back to be important later on in the season, if we're talking about tiebreakers and other things, that might be the case. But Grant, we're gonna take a look at the overall roster, and we're gonna take a look at who's gone, who's coming back, who's stepping in, who's to watch for. But we already know that the main three coordinators are all back.
Yep.
So we know that
for once, they're all back.
So we know that Matt Entz will stay as obviously the head coach.
How much longer? We have no idea.
We know Tyler Roll will run the offense, which is great, and we know that David Brown's run the defense.
Quick question before we start. If somehow Entz leaves for another job, would you hire Tyler Roll?
If
Matt Entz left for another job, would you want Tyler Roll to take over as head coach? I kind of would.
Well, my thought was always that if the Bison job opened up again, that Brent Vegan would take it.
No.
Well, that's not obviously happening, because for those of you who haven't heard, Brent Vegan's going to Montana State. I always thought Tim Polasek would be a candidate to take over, because keep in mind that when Kleiman got the job, it was Vegan's. Vegan was basically offered the job if he wanted it and turned it down.
Why didn't he want it?
I think he wanted to stay with Bowl. And maybe
stupid decision.
Well, maybe not, because
he's right back to where he was.
I don't think Bowl's going anywhere though for a while. So
no, but it's just like Roll brings so much energy, and he's a former Bison. He was a former player. He's a dominant player at NDSU. It would be fitting for him to come back and be head coach.
Probably, but And who knows if he aspires to be one or not. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, he's already the offensive coordinator, so I mean,
yeah, he's a heartbeat away. But right. As you know, the defensive coordinator has traditionally been the stepping stone to the job.
But does David Braun really look like a head coach to you? I mean, it's
like, I don't know what a head coach looks like.
Is it a record of teams he's been at? Does he have the experience?
Well, I haven't done a lot of looking into his background, but I can tell you he's a hell of a defensive coach. So let's also keep in mind that the offensive line coaching position when A.J. Blazek moved on to Wyoming and then moved on again to go to Vanderbilt. So okay. That's different. We'll have, obviously, different running backs coach. And some of those changes, I don't know how significant they will be.
Not very. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
We'll see. But offensive line, certainly a position of continuity that Bison fans worry about. So, being that we're talking about offensive line and everything else, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. And there's obviously the biggest question now that Trey Lance has moved on and will go into the NFL draft and likely be a first-round pick. Can Zeb Nolan do the job? Mm-hmm. And realistically speaking, this is where the Bison offense will change the most to the uneducated viewer, because this offense will be much more of the traditional quarterback role than it has been, probably, I would say, going back even further to the Steve Walker days. Because I was going to say, Brock,
rock
followed
rock
by
move.
Wentz, followed by Stick, followed by Lance. They've all been that same vein of quarterback where they could beat you with their legs as much. I don't think the Bison have had a quarterback that is a lack of a running threat. You'd have to go back to Nick Mertens, and they never let Mertens use his legs when he was there. They were insistent on making him a passer, a West Coast passer, and I think that everybody figured out quickly that wasn't quite the way to go. So if you look at Nolan, he certainly has the physical attributes mm-hmm. to do it, and he certainly has the arm to do it. Grant, what do you see out of the quarterback position with Zeb Nolan being the guy?
Here's what I see with this. Zeb, it might be the best passer we've seen for a while.
From
this
pure passer.
He's the best. He's a pure pocket passer in every definition of the word. That's when he went to Iowa State, Big 12 school. He's a high-profile passer. And that comes to a Bison team that's a running team. So you're probably going to see more of what Kirk Cousins does. Play actions off of that, or just straight-up pass plays. Because with the Bison offense, there's not a lot of straight drop-back passing. It's most off play action. With a Bison team that has so many great running backs on it, he doesn't have to run that much. It shouldn't be that hard for him. All right?
You tell me. Now he also has the advantage of having already graduated.
Uh-huh.
So he's going with the graduate degree plan, and also has some lineage that's interesting. His dad played QB at Appalachian State, believe it or not, which is kind of interesting. Nolan. So
the first name?
I don't know, but I just thought you might be interesting to hear that. We obviously haven't seen a lot of him in a Bison uniform.
To kneel down to hand off is what I've seen him do.
He did play. I was surprised he got into 8 games as a junior. I didn't realize
it
was that many.
Well, when he's taking that many knees, it probably doesn't.
Yeah. smart guy. He's an honor roll student, at Missouri Valley honor roll student.
Yay.
That's always good to know. Mm-hmm. The game everybody would remember him for was when he threw for 360 yards and 2 TDs when they lost to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
When he played for Iowa State. Played 4 games as a freshman for Iowa State, and then, like I said, mentioned 5 in his sophomore season. It's interesting to me. I wonder if Lance had not declared, if he would have said, "That's it, I'm done." I bet you he would have.
He probably would have, and it was probably safe to say he would have gone. He would have left if Trey would have continued on. But it's just the main reason Zeb is here in the first place is because the Jacks wanted him. Mm-hmm. Because the Jacks and Bison are both recruiting for him. And since the Jacks wanted him, the Bison are like, okay, we'll take him. Well, we don't know how good he is, but we'll take him. He's a transfer guy.
And really, that has been a prescient decision by the Bison coaches to get him in here, because now he is exactly what you need. He is the stopgap between Lance and who will arguably be the next big thing.
If it's Cole Payton or if it's Quincy Patterson.
Well, it's going to be Quincy Patterson, I would think. And I think this, and that's a discussion for the fall season.
We still have to mention him in the show.
But he's not eligible to play.
He's not.
Right now.
Again, why?
Because of the transfer rules with COVID, they are not allowing him to do that.
There's been immediate transfers before.
Well, there's never been COVID before.
True.
So, it's not... He's applied for the waiver. It seems like it is unlikely it will come. So, the backup quarterback job is going to be in the hands of either Logan Gretz or Cam Miller, neither of which anybody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And
they're just good guys that are sitting.
Yeah, they're, and I think it'd be Gretz if they, based on what I've heard from the rumor mill and the coaching staff, that he'd be the backup. But this is Zeb's team for this year. This is his year,
mm-hmm.
And this may not be his team when fall comes around.
No,
but it will definitely be his team.
If he has a good season, is he a draftable quarterback?
No.
You don't think he's any shot of being an NFL draft pick at all?
Well, not yet. Yeah. I mean, he'd have to have a hell of a season for that.
Well, it's a sure possibility.
Well, it is. It is a possibility.
QB after QB. I mean, he's gonna have some good season.
But
this might be the best passing season we've probably ever seen from this school. Because NDSU is not a high-profile passing attack type of offense. It's a ground-and-pound offense. But none of these guys quite had that pro-style... can throw the ball through a wall kind of arm like Zeb does. And pure passer, I hope with the receivers the Bison have, he could probably have one of the best seasons in NDSU history.
So let's talk about who Noland is throwing to.
Yeah,
as long as we're on that.
It's loaded.
He says, let's start with the obvious talent, and that is probably the name that is the most on anybody's radar, and that's Christian Watson.
And Phoenix Pearls.
Yeah, but if you look at pure physical talent,
oh, yes. Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt. Watson is the number one receiver on this team. You saw what he did against James Madison.
Montana State.
He was very quiet in the Central Arkansas game. He only caught two balls, but certainly a lot of coverage was rolled his way, and the way Lance was running, they really didn't need to throw the ball that mm-hmm. much. It's tough to gauge anything from that game to this game because Lance not being a quarterback and changes the whole dynamic. I'd be shocked if Watson isn't an all-conference receiver.
Yep.
If he's used the way I think he will be.
Yeah.
He will be the go-up-and-get-it guy.
Mm-hmm.
And with Nolan's arm, I think it's a distinct possibility he'll get a lot of looks his way. Sproles on the outside, the other side, I should say, at 6'1", 188, is just a dynamic speed receiver and can get open. And he's going to be your slot guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really going to have, I think, a chance to excel in this offense again, too. The third and fourth receiver jobs, it's Cole Jacob is in the mix.
Braylon Henderson,
who actually
Zach
had
Mathis.
The okay. most catches of anybody in the opener against Central Arkansas. You're a big Zach Mathis guy. Rajah Nelson and DJ Hart will be more special teams guys. But talk about the wide receivers, Grant. You've got a young group here again, all juniors.
Yeah.
You got juniors, it's Watson and Sproles. And, they look like they certainly have the potential to be the best duo probably that the Bison have had since Zach Vaughn and Ryan Smith.
It seems like with Trey, he would always look for Henderson on third down. It seems like a Central Arkansas game. If it was third down, he was looking for number 12. It was wherever he was on the field on an out route, he's going to him. But with Zeb, he's going to get it downfield. And Watson and Sproles are the perfect guys to get it downfield. If you want that deep shot, he can get it. They can both get it for you. But the Bison had this much length at receiver. I mean, Mathis is 6'6 at receiver. Watson's, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
6'4".
6'4 receiver.
Depth chart says 6'4".
Yeah, so you got two guys that can go up and get the football for on a fade or anything you want. They can do everything, and that's what I like about this team. And Cole Jacob, I mean, there's always that white wide receiver the Bison have. He's that guy. He's such a great possession guy. And I love Zach Mathis.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that because I really don't understand the intense love you have for Zach Mathis.
6'6".
Well, and that's all well and good, but eventually that has to turn into production.
Yeah.
Where's the production?
Nowhere at the moment.
Right.
But it's just like, you're going to get him to the offense at some point, and you have a guy like Nolan throwing the ball.
Mathis, you know, in 2019, caught all of 5 passes. Okay?
Yeah.
5.
5.
That's, you know, leads me to believe there's more to meets the eye. I'm not as sold on Mathis as you are. I'm just not.
Okay.
So, tell me, just because he's 6'6", doesn't mean that makes him a...
No, but it doesn't make him a good receiver. No, because it's not his height. But I'm just saying,
he had one catch against Central Arkansas.
Okay.
So
he's not used as much.
I'm just asking. So
he's not used as much. I understand, but it's just when you have that kind of height and you need it, just go up and get it, kind of guy inside the 20, just lob it up to him. If most corners are 6 foot and under, so. If you got a 6-inch advantage on the guy, why not go up and get it, right?
Okay, I'm not as crazy about him as you are. Okay. We'll see. But I think Jacob and Henderson, I think, are going to get.
I like Henderson a lot.
Yeah, and he's proven to be a pretty effective player in his first couple campaigns here with the Bison, and I suspect again he'll have a pretty successful career here, make it with that Texas connection. So that covers the wide receivers. The running backs are a whole different
love the running
set
back
this year. So let's talk about that. To me, quarterback running back one on the depth chart,
Seth Wilson,
the 5'10", 191 junior out of Wisconsin. Now
healthy.
Now, the other thing though, I think you have to keep in mind with Wilson, I think he's, if you look at the Bison running back room, I think he's... I know. I think he is the most complete back the Bison have. I think in terms of staying as a three, the phrase, the three-down back, I think Wilson is the best back they have that can do everything.
Yep.
I think you saw that against Central Arkansas, he was more than ready to play. He only got 7 carries at 55 yards, and towards the end... was really the guy that they went to at the end that said, go out and ice it for
If he doesn't snap a hamstring or tear an ACL, he's a really good back. I mean, the last, I think, was his redshirt freshman year against South Dakota State in the semifinals, that 75-yard run to open the second half of that game.
Yeah, the
game.
One where he blew his hamstring up or whatever it was.
No, he got horse collar.
He got hurt.
Yeah. It's just sick, and he's out the rest of it. He's out the next season. It was just... You feel good from just the fact he's on the field, but you're right, against Central Arkansas, he's blocking on a touchdown run, he's powering through guys, he's out of speed, it's just everything that he's gone through, it's good to see him back on the field.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you look back on his 18, which for him, he was hurt for the most of the year. He came back. He had, like I said, the one big carry against South Dakota State.
He caught a touchdown pass against Wofford.
And so he was gone. I mean, so that's almost 2 full seasons worth of Seth Wilson that you haven't seen.
And he's still a sophomore.
But it's amazing to me, though, if you go back and look at his, and it's hard to believe it's been this long, but it has. If you go back and look at his... is 2017.
He's been here forever.
You know, he didn't play for most of the year there. If you look at this, he carried a ball 3 times against South Dakota State, and then carried it 13 times against South Dakota, scored, and then he busted out that, you know, like I said, the Wofford game he had, and then against Sam Houston, he was the dude.
Yeah.
He absolutely went nuts, 194 yards. And so it's just so weird to think that realistically he's been here for all these years, it seems like. But this will be the first time that he will suit up as the dude.
Yeah.
Since 2017.
Yeah, I mean, when he's healthy, he's one of the better backs in the FCS.
Yeah.
I mean, but if he can keep the injury bug off of him for 1 year, just see if he can max out his potential, what he can be. I mean... He's like you said, he's the by far the horse of this stable of running backs. But the guys behind him are just as good.
Right. Kobe Johnson would be, to me, the second guy up.
Yep.
And he certainly has had some pretty nice moments.
Kickoff return touchdown against Youngstown. I mean, he's just such an interesting story of how, just looking at his stats and everything, just the speed that he possesses is just unbelievable.
Yep. You know, he had a couple hundred-yard games in the last season. He went on to Delaware, and he had 101 yards and a touchdown. He had 103 against Youngstown, and he just missed a 100-yard game against Northern Iowa. He broke off a big 50-yard run in that game. You mentioned the kick return. That was also the Youngstown game, yep, where he scored on that one. So all-purpose yards, he nearly had 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And in none of those games did he carry more than 13 times. So I think that, again, your blueprint, if you look at the games Kobe had, 6 for 63, 4 for 30, 11 for 101, 4 for 2, 13 for 40, 9, 7, 6, 5, 9. You're going to get 10 carries out of him. You're probably going to get 15 out of Wilson. And then you're also going to fit in a guy like Jalen Bussey, who, yep, absolutely, if Western Illinois never sees him again.
He had a career in 15 minutes.
I mean, that might have been one of the most impressive.
The most pathetic defense I think I've ever seen.
Correct. No arguing that. But I tell you what, Bussey was so
pure
good.
Pure speed is what he is.
You know, in case you've forgotten that, he ripped off 2 touchdown runs. He had 65 and 45. Also a game where Josh Babich caught the 88-yard touchdown pass. We'll get to that tight ends in a minute. But
yeah.
Bussey had 6 carries for 127 yards.
These guys don't want to max out their opportunities.
Yeah, they really did, and that was a fun game to watch. So to me, you know, getting Bussey on the field is going to be key. Now he is a pretty small guy, so you have to limit his touches.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets a little interesting because no more Adam Cofield, transferred to Western Kentucky.
It's like, with him gone, it's like, when he transferred, I'm like, eh.
And no more Savion Clark either.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about those two.
Neither those two. DJ Stewart is probably your next back after those three. Dominic Granella was scheduled to get some time in the Central Arkansas game. We really haven't seen him. And TK Marshall's the other one. I would be surprised if they go too much deeper than Bussey. Maybe DJ and Dominic get carries.
Maybe.
You're probably looking at 5 guys.
But you got a three-headed monster that you have.
Well, and then you also have Hunter Lubke, who I would say, if you looked at
He's a fullback, not a running back.
Well, but if you look at the stats from the Central Arkansas game, if you take away Lance, honestly, Lubke was the most effective running back they had. He caught a touchdown pass and ran for the other. Both big scores in that game. So let's not overlook, you know, and he's only a sophomore. At 6'1", 245, he's a big dude. He's a load to bring down. And certainly he will be a part of this offense with Tyler Roll running the show.
Yeah, he's your complete package fullback. Catch it, run it, block it. I mean, that's really all. It's like playing a bop it game with Hunter Lubke. He can do everything with the ball or without the ball. I mean, the blocks the guy throws are just vicious. But I remember I can't remember which game it was when we were at the Dome, and you're like, I don't want him catching the ball. He can't catch. You just screamed at me. I'm like, because he fumbled the ball. But then the Central Arkansas, he was catching touchdown passes. I'm like, okay, I think he grew up at receiver, but the fullback is a key part of the Bison offense. I mean, like Brock Robbins and Jedry Sear, those guys are pure blockers. This guy can do everything for them.
Yeah, Sear wasn't too bad at catching the ball.
But no, but he only had like one touchdown pass.
Well,
one
but touchdown again, reception. That he'll be more of a part of the offense, I think, than a lot of people give him credit for initially. We need to talk about the other skill position, and that's at the tight end spot where the Bison are loaded. Josh Babich and Noah Gindorf, they're almost like the same guy.
All they do catch touchdowns.
6'6" mountains, both about the same weight. I don't know if there's a, you know, really it's a two tight end offense for the most part, so when they're playing 12 personnel, Gindorf and Babich will both be on the field. The other guy that will get some run as a younger tight end is Travis Yonke.
Jaden Claybo.
And then Travis, again, Claybo is probably the fourth guy in the list. Yonke will be the first guy up, though, when it comes to, you know, coming into that third tight end role, I think. And I'll be curious to see from Claybo's standpoint what he looks like after now a little bit more in the program.
A little more Kramer?
Yeah, a little more Kramerized. but I don't think there's any question the Bison tight ends are yeah. They're behemoths.
Yeah, but I think at one point in the season, what, they had 6 touchdowns, I think, combined. It's like all they did was catch touchdowns. They were Chris Carter, it seemed like.
Right. Well, if you look at the production out of the tight end position last year, Ben Ellison, who's now graduated, 15 catches, 119 yards, 5 touchdowns. Babbage, 12 for 192, 5 touchdowns. Gindorf, 10 catches for 170 and 6 touchdowns. So the interesting thing, though, is as the year went on, their numbers got a little worse. And for the in the championship game, they each only caught one pass. Ellison caught the one. Well, Ellison got screwed out of one.
Ellison, again, tell me again what is, you know, like, he was covered on the line of scrimmage, but he wasn't, like, a legal man downfield.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I don't understand that call. I'll never understand legal man downfield call.
So, for all practical purposes, if you figure the Bison have 35 to 40 catches to distribute among the tight ends, you know, then you're looking at 15 to 20 catches, you know, to replace Ellison's catches, mm-hmm. and easily both guys could wind up with 20-some catches. You're just not going to get that many in that offense the way things run. But I think the Bison are pretty well set at
10. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just think they're more pass catchers than they are blockers, but in this offense, you got to be a good blocker, and both of them are. I mean, when you're 6'6 and you're just massive, they can almost fit in as offensive linemen if they really want. Like an undersized offensive lineman, those guys are just great blockers. But watching at tight end going up for passes, it's like they shouldn't be able to run that fast for tight ends. Like Gindorf against Illinois State going on the sideline, I'm like, you can't move that fast for a tight end.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Let's talk about the Rams. Absolutely. And the offensive line, which most Bison fans will want to know a lot about. And the way the 2-deep chart reads right now, and that's not saying that it's going to be the way it starts out
that way. Did Carson Chutin graduate?
He's not playing. He's done.
Okay, yeah.
So the prospective offensive line looks like now Cordell Volson will be the dude at left tackle.
Thank God.
6'7", 310. He is likely the next man on the we're going to draft him list. It's probably what we're looking at there. Nash Jensen, with one of the best names in FCS, is going to play left guard. And, you know, 6'4", 327. So there's no question the strength of this Bison offense will be the left side of the line. Jalen Sundell will slide over and play center. And
I haven't heard of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he played last year, and he's going to move over now and play center. And the Bison have talked about him extensively as being the most athletic center that they've had in several years.
What,
that's
it. Was he Joe Lund good?
And that's I think they're thinking he is going to be that good.
Wow.
And I'm going to be interested in seeing just how he does line up. And he's an athletic.
He's like 294 pounds, though. Right. He's a big guy.
Right. And being that height, he's actually the, believe it or not, I think he's the shortest guy on the offensive line.
How tall is he?
6'4".
That's the shortest guy in the offense.
Yeah, Kubis is 6'4", also on the right side. But
this is ridiculous.
But yeah, I'm thinking that could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Kubis, and then he's got his twin brother is also who is the sophomore, but Zach's the senior, and he'll probably start at right guard. And then Cody Mock will be the right tackle. And
not catching passes.
He was that ogre tight end that they had last year. And that's
88 and yellow.
Well, that's what they call it, the ogre package. So
the ogre, I love
he's, it. He's going to be now. Now, what game did he catch the pass in?
There was multiple games. They're more specific here.
Well, it was the 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
there's right?
multiple games. Pick one.
Yeah, I don't
know. Montana remember. State is probably one of
the. Well, that's the one I remember. Yeah. But
dial up something fun and go for two. Yeah.
Yep. So that'll be your starting offensive line. And so Mock is about 295 and Sundell is about that. So those will be the smaller guys on there. But
small meaning almost 300 pounds.
It's certainly going to be an athletic offensive line as you look at it. And that might be exactly what the doctor ordered for a more passing-related offense.
Yeah, just with this group of guys, like, to be honest, I thought Cody Mock was because he had two numbers on the depth chart, right? 88 and 70 were the
right,
tight end
right.
for the right tackle. But and seeing him permanently play right tackle, see how he plays at right tackle, I'm just happy Volson's back. Because Volson, he was, because those two tackles, when you had Raidens there, you were not going to get to Trey. Even if he somehow got to Trey, Trey was getting out of there. But now that you have Volson protecting Zeb's blind side, Zeb probably won't get touched on that left side. No chance.
Seems unlikely. Now, they've certainly got some offensive line depth, but they are young. And if you look at this group...
It's a pretty young team for the most part.
Well, the offense certainly is. Now, Nolan being a quarterback is a key. You've got Volson at left tackle, who's an anchor. You've got Kubis, who is coming in as, again, been in the program for a while, the Dickinson senior.
Mm-hmm.
It is, though, if you look at the depth on offensive line... Mason Miller's coming in from Ada. He's the backup left tackle. Zach Willis is a junior, and he's 303 and a big dude. He's the heir apparent there. Brandon Westberg will see some time, redshirt freshman at left guard. Gray Zabel, the freshman from Pierre, is the center that's coming up. We mentioned Jake Kubis already. Jake Rock is the right tackle from Delafield, another redshirt freshman that may see some time. We also should mention too that there's a good possibility the Bison will rotate their offensive linemen a lot more than they have in the past, and that's just again because of
the depth
and the fact that they need to preserve individual abilities, because again, if you figure they're going to make a run all the way to Frisco in May,
mm-hmm.
and then they've got to shut it down for 2 months and go right back to it.
Right, yeah.
That's going to be a little difficult.
Yeah, and
so I expect those freshmen I mentioned to rotate in.
Like when you rattle off those small towns, I'm like, where is that again? Like this, the Bison want to recruit offensive linemen. I mean,
just the small towns. I mean, you've got kids from Fargo, you've got Dickinson. Again, these aren't huge places, but then you've got Noah Gindorf's from Crosby, Minnesota, in the Iron Range.
Balfour and Wilson.
Yeah, and that's old farm country we know because we have family in Balfour.
I didn't know that.
So that's, well, yeah, Shirley. Oh. Your Aunt Shirley's from that area.
Ah, yes.
And Uncle Lee. So you've got that. But the other thing you've got is a lot of Minnesota kids on here at the skill positions.
Thanks, Gophers.
So, and certainly Wisconsin's definitely been a good spot for them as well. So... bottom line is that I think the Bison offense, while it's young,
it's good.
It's old at the right positions.
Yeah, it's good.
Your quarterback and your left tackle are your veterans, and your running back has been here for 500 years, even though he's only played in a couple seasons. So overall, I think they'll be okay.
He's like Kevin O'Banner. He just stays on the program forever and ever leaves, right? It's just ridiculous,
Very true. Let's go to the defensive side. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball.
A little shaky against Central Arkansas, but first game, Central Arkansas.
I'm okay with that because I really thought that the defense, if you look at, you want to talk about youth, this is where the youth is really going to shine, because if you look at the projected starting defense, there is only one senior in this whole group, and that's Josh Hayes.
Yeah. I mean, just see, they lost, though. I mean, Hendricks, Bridges, Cox, Mercadel, Tuska. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Right.
And how much they have coming back at the same time.
Well, let's start with who's coming back. So you look at the defensive line.
I mean, it's just loaded.
And Spencer Wagey did not play, I believe, in the Central Arkansas game.
No,
and I think he's their best pass rusher.
I mean, I feel like he was in Tuska's shadow a little bit. But not only that, he is the edge rusher. But just look at his defensive line. McCormick, Beagler, Costner, Chang.
Is done.
Oh, he's done? All
right,
whatever.
Beagler's done.
Okay.
So, Wagey's going to be, I think, the one end. They're going to rotate so much at defensive end, but I'm a big Logan McCormick guy. I like what he does off the ball. I think it's Wagey and McCormick. You've got Brendan Cook and then Tony Pierce, who showed some flashes. I like that defensive line.
Oh yeah.
And then if you look at the tackle position, you've got my boy Costner Ching, who has really been a find and someone they took basically right out of SDSU's backyard. Which makes him better.
I love taking players out of the backyard.
Lane Tucker is gonna play a lot, and he's the Wyoming kid, and I think between him and the Mostert, with Eli Mostert being in there.
Which one?
Eli. Eli's the one that's gonna play more on the defensive line. Javier Garrett, not to be forgotten about, the Missouri kid, who I think will be very, very good,
mm-hmm.
and certainly has the size already. you know, all of the Bison defensive ends, and with the exception of McCormick and Pierce, they're all kind of in that 280 range.
Well, they should be,
you know,
right?
You know, enough to be mobile, but you're not gonna, you don't have some massive defensive tackle.
No, you don't have like, you know, what the Illinois State has, John Ridgeway, right? They don't have that.
They don't have that 300 some pound guy. You know, sitting in the middle, but
that's a great defensive tackle.
It is going to be difficult with, you know, with Tuska not being there anymore, and Cox not being there, and Mercadal not being there.
We still have a Cox. I mean,
right, and he's going to be the Sam linebacker. Jasir will be. Mitchell Curtis will back him up, and then at weak side linebacker, I like James Kayser. I know he made some
great. You know, he's a great linebacker. Mm-hmm. Better hair though.
He does have great hair. interestingly, he may be the holder.
He will be.
He was
a Central Arkansas.
Yeah. Now, did he play quarterback in high school?
I think so. Okay. But I don't remember,
because I know how much Entz values that ability to be able to, and that was such a thing you took for granted with James Hendricks. Is it was like having your quarterback, you know, under center. And taking snaps.
Want to throw Tutsi back there at home?
I don't know. But getting back to the pass rush, because I think that's the other spot. You're going to have to get some more sacks from your linebackers. Because Cox had 5 last year, and obviously he's gone. Mercadal had, and then they didn't have hardly any other sacks from the linebackers. But the guy I really like, and the guy who's going to be responsible, is Jackson Hanke, who
looks like a 30-year-old lawyer instead of
but he led the team in tackles, and that, you know, if you look at guys that have played that position, it's funny you should mention lawyers, because Sean Fredericks, who I tailgate with every so often, you know, another turned out to be a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. So guys
like
that,
look like a lawyer.
Guys like that. Well, I don't know what a lawyer looks like. So
not that.
You know who also is a lawyer?
My dad.
But anyway,
your dad.
Yeah, you got your grandfather. So, Hanke, Kayser, Cox are the 3 linebackers. I was worried about that. The only thing I have a little bit of a concern about is the size. You know, none of them are overly big guys. Now, Mason Hofstad, who will back up Kayser, you know, is 225. But Kayser's 211, Hanke's 219.
Kayser's built like a safety.
Cox 207. They're not huge guys, and it always gives me a little bit of worry in the valley when you get against the banger backs.
The banger backs?
Yeah, you know, the big teams like your Northern Iowas and South Dakota States that can run power and play physical football. If they get past the second level, it's tougher to bring those guys down.
Yeah, but Kayser's built like a safety. I mean, he looks like a safety.
Well, I get that, but I like my linebackers in the 220s.
Yeah.
That's where I like them, personally. They're smaller. Now, Cox's athletic ability is not quite his brother's level, but he's certainly going to play his brother's role.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, but and Hanke's going to be, you know, the man on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is. I'm assuming he's in the 220 range. He's where you want him.
Hanke's about 220.
Yeah, so just where you want him to be. And Kayser, they like him so much because he's just so damn athletic. And I'm just like, well, can he make a tackle though? I mean, he's great. He can deflect passes. He can be really good in those areas. But I mean, can he bring down Pierre Strong Jr.? I mean, can he bring down a UNI running back? That's my only worry with him. Jasir, I don't worry about Jasir because, I mean, whatever he learned off of the coaches, he also learned off Jabril, too. I mean, he learned off of a potential first 3-round draft pick. So, I mean, the linebackers will be fine.
Secondary.
Young.
Concerning. But the one thing I do like is that Josh Hayes is there. Now, Josh isn't the biggest guy.
No, but he's certainly
the guy that you're going to put on another team's wide receiver.
If it's not Riley Stapleton, he's on. He'll be okay.
Jaden Price had a nice game against Central Arkansas with a pick.
Interception.
So they would be the 2 starters. Destin Talbert concerns me.
Really?
And because there have not been... He's looked bad on some plays that I just makes me pause a little bit. I have some concern there. He didn't pick off a pass last year. Had a good game against like South Dakota, but for the most part, it seemed like every time I heard his name, it wasn't good, and okay. I'm concerned a little bit about him now. The other thing is Anthony Coleman is the freshman they brought in from Iowa. he's probably going to see some time. And I don't know if this corner group. I guess I'm more concerned at this corner group than I ever have been at corner.
Well, because there isn't a second corner. There's not a second corner you're familiar with, right?
Right.
Like if there's a Josh Hayes, there's a Marquise Bridges, there's a Marcus Williams, there's a Brendan Pierre. Mm-hmm. Or Brian Shepherd. I mean, there isn't that other corner that you like. If they have two dominant receivers, we got two dominant corners to match that. Like, you know, Brandon Polk and Stapleton, Virginia, you had Hayes and Bridges to go after. But, yeah, it's a little concerning. I don't know how good Jaden Price is. I mean, I watched him, and he got the game-winning pick. But it's just like, I don't know what to say about him because I haven't seen much of him.
Right. Well, I think he strikes me as though as the guy that's going to turn into that shutdown corner. I think he's going to be really good.
You think that Jaden Price would be that guy?
Yeah, I think he's the next guy in line.
For okay.
Safety, on the other hand, is not a position I have any concern about.
Tutsi, Dawson Weber.
I think Michael Tutsi might be the best.
He's the best safety in the FCS.
And he might be on his way to becoming, again, that next dude at safety for NDSU. I mean, the Colton Heagles and all those guys that have come before him and the Hendrixes, but I think Tutsi, and he's going to play strong safety, and that's where he's better suited to. Mm-hmm. Dawson Weber, I think, now he's at free safety, and he, you know, the California kid who stepped in, had a few starts last year, I think he's going to be fine out mm-hmm. there. Julian Wodarczyk is...
Thank you. I was asking for a pronounce that.
Yeah, he is going to be a dude at 6'3 back there. And,
6'3?
It's very possible, I think, by the time he gets to his senior year and Weber is gone, that he's going to be starting and it might not be at... he might not have long to wait before he's in the lineup on a full-time basis. Dom Jones, the big kid from Georgia...
Georgia
is the other free safety that's
Ty
on the 2D. And then, like you said, Ty Satter.
Yay.
We'll have to see how he where he fits into the role.
Right.
The other guy we haven't mentioned on here was the kid from Bartholomew, whatever his name is.
Ogbu.
I'm not sure what's happened to him. If he's going to get... He's not on the 2 deep, and he's not listed out there. So I'm just curious if he's... struggled or
was he on the roster?
I mean, yeah, he's on the roster, but I'm just kind of curious where
he's a defensive end, isn't he?
Yeah, and I'm just curious how much run he's going to get this year. I expected that he'd be further along than he is.
I don't know. I thought he was fine, but I haven't seen a look. So,
overall, I think this defense will have some growing pains.
Yeah,
but I think, and we'll get to the schedule in a little bit. I think the schedule will help them benefit with some of those growing pains. We'll save that for later.
Okay.
But I think the way the schedule breaks out will help all of these factors when I'll get to it in a few minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk special teams because that's something we want to go through.
It's usually been a rough spot for them. But I think they may have found some guys that actually work for them, though.
What I worry about more is kicker and punter. And
is kicker, not punter.
Ryan Holes is going to be fine. I don't have...
You worry about Garrett Wagner?
No.
Okay, then what are you worrying about then?
I worry about more the coverage teams and the returners.
Oh. Okay.
Because Trevor Height's no longer there. So it's probably going to be, my guess from what they've listed on the 2-deep, is that Kobe Johnson will return kicks or Raja Nelson.
Uh-huh.
And then it's possible, it looks like Braylon Henderson might get the punt return duty. That's just a position you can't afford to have, you know, drop off at.
Yeah.
And Wegner, I think, has done a very, very nice job as a punter. Reinholz, you know, he kicked last year at the end.
Did he ever attempt a kick? I don't think he attempted one
just
kick,
Just the extra points.
Yeah. Never attempted a few goals.
You know, Griffin Crosa is there in case something. Oh, I mean, and he did a credible job as a backup.
Will Cardinal, though. No.
I don't even know if he's still playing.
Yeah. He's listed on the roster.
Okay.
So yeah, he's there.
I don't think they'll need to get down to Will Cardinal.
They have so many punters and kickers on that roster.
Well, and I think, again, it's one of those situations where the kickers are like lawyers. You don't know you need a good one until you need one.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Holes will be fine. Again, he's had the whole offseason to get ready. He made a field goal in the Central Arkansas game, albeit a short one. You know, he'll hold the fort down, I think, just fine. Ross Kennelly will snap.
The Grizzly veteran, as I call him, will be the snapper.
Yeah, will be the snapper again. And then they did recruit, and I can't think of the kid's name, and I didn't write it down. No. But they do have kind of his heir apparent ready to play.
It's like, once a long time it's a senior, you got to get another one. Right. The only thing they have two on the roster.
And well, they were so fortunate to have, you know, James Fisher long snapping for as long as they did.
I think it was the Lions.
Well, you know, that's where you went there.
You went to the Lions. I'm still there.
So, overall, it's a young group.
Yeah.
But it's a talented group. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly, I think, good enough to do what they need to get done. But as I look at the schedule, and originally I had thought this would be an easier go of it until Indiana State dropped out. And that poses the first challenge. That I don't think...
Could you wait a little bit longer to drop out Indiana State? Like, come on. We wanted the free win.
Yeah. Huh. I think Youngstown won't be... And again, we'll take a look at the...
new coaching staff.
We'll take a look at the entire Valley on Monday.
Yeah.
But what it looks like to me, the schedule is favorable, at least to start out now. But two of the first three should be easy. Youngstown that should be an easy win. Southern Illinois is the team, and we'll talk about them on Monday.
Oh, good Lord.
Javon Williams Jr. is back. They did lose Jeremy Chin.
Who cares?
But they have a lot of pieces back. They are very senior heavy.
Who cares?
And Carbondale is not an easy place to win. So...
Did you really just say that?
Yeah, I did. I think the Bison will get as tough a game from anybody this year as Southern Illinois. Jeff Kolpak's already said that they will lose to Southern Illinois.
That's his opinion.
I don't know.
Everybody's entitled to an opinion. So.
Yeah, that's why they... Yeah,
exactly. And they have an opinion, and can say that they're going to lose. Fine.
Now,
say
it. Be that as it may, the Bison have won, you know, 9 of the last 10.
Yeah.
I get that.
When
if
was
you
the
look,
last time they won?
Last time who won?
Southern Illinois, 2009.
The last time Southern Illinois beat NDSU was in 2009. So the Bison are on a bit of a streak. And if you look at the games that they were played, last year's game was not a runaway by any means for the Bison. That was a game up until the fourth quarter.
But think of it that weekend. Bison trying to finish an undefeated season. Southern Illinois trying to make a playoff berth. So they were going to try to win that game as hard as they could. So they had something more on their mind that week than just the Bison just had an undefeated season.
Mm-hmm. You're why Matt Gallagher ref that game, by the way.
I love Matt Gallagher.
I know you have a big thing for Matt Gallagher. Yeah, there we go. But I remember, and this was before you were watching a lot of Bison football, though, they would go down to Carbondale and just struggle. I mean,
I never understood why, though.
Yeah, they lost, and then they were ugly losses. You know, they lost 9-0 down there in 05. They lost 24-14 there in 09. So there were some real struggle games there. And even the wins were kind of ugly. If you go back to the beginning of the series again, when they restarted 20-6, 9-3, 23-17, they were by no means blowouts. Now, the 13-14 editions of Bison blew them away. And then the 18 version just pounded
65-17.
Right, that was one of the biggest poundings of the era. But, again, they had the game in 15 where, you know, it was not an easy game down there in 35-29. So, I'm just telling you, I don't think
is a Carbondale trip easy? No, but it's a Valley. It's still a Valley opponent.
And then you get Misery State with Bobby Petrino.
Welcome to the Fargo Dome, dude.
Yeah, no, they're at Misery State.
Oh, sorry. Who cares? At Misery State
again, another tough place that the Bison historically have hiccup in.
Don't give me that. No. It's Misery State.
What?
Don't give me that with Missouri State. Come on.
The ugliest win of 19 was Missouri State. Remember that?
It was 20. They still shut them out.
I know, but you remember the bitching that they had after that game? Oh, my God, it's terrible. And the Bison did not play well.
They still shut them out, so I don't
care. I'm just saying, it's not the easiest place for them to go and win.
Really? Again, really? What was the score the last time? They killed them last time they went up there.
48-7.
Yeah. I don't buy that for a second. Okay. It's a tough place to win at, really.
They're pesky. No, they're pesky.
No, they're not.
They're not going to be this year, but they'll be pesky. Mm-hmm. And then it's Illinois State, who's a bit of an enigma wrapped in a mystery. And
correct.
I don't quite know what to expect from Illinois, but it is in Fargo, and I guess I'm not too worried about it. Then UND. No.
Hey, Bubba, what's up?
No, buddy? I don't. I think Bubba's in for a rough ride.
Our second favorite head coach, Bubba Schwanger.
Bubba, keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
74, baby.
Yeah. And then South Dakota.
Yeah.
And that, I don't think they're going to be all they're cracked up to be. So the schedule will have all that, and then you get your playoffs start April 3rd. You have South Dakota State in Fargo, and then the next week you have UNI
at
the garage door. So you have
the Unidump.
All right. Now the Valley this year is putting in that extra week, the week of the 17th, April 17th. That's the makeup week.
Okay.
So we already know Western Illinois and South Dakota will play in the makeup week because that first game has already been postponed. So the Bison have the schedule that works from the worst to the best for all practical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So a perfect season is 9-0. So you're already 1-0. Okay, we're 1-0 this. We were 1-0 last week.
Yeah, 1-0 last year.
Realistically, I'm not going to say which game they're going to lose, but I think they'll lose 1-0. Of course, I know you're going to say that.
I mean, okay, you can see why I'd say 0.
Yeah, I can.
When was their last loss? 2017. That was 4 years ago.
Which the odds, but the odds of this season with this group.
This season, I heard this last year. I don't care.
No, you didn't hear it last year because this is different. No, there wasn't COVID last year. This isn't the same thing. This is a shorter season with conference-only games, and you don't get time to build up to the Valley schedule like you did last year. Now, you've got to already come out, and you were in conference play in the thick of it right out of the gate. Now, again, it's not a very good team you're playing, but it is still a conference game, which is different, and the fact that their last game was in October, that makes this different. It's a different offense with Zeb Nolan at the helm, but they have not gone on the road yet with that starting quarterback. One of these games, and I'm not saying it's going to be Southern, the game I'm the most worried about on there is the UNI game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think UNI is going to need that game. I just got a hunch. Keep in mind that the playoff system this year,
now, 16 teams, I got
it. Is, but now it's now down to 10 conference champions because the MEAC apparently is quitting on the year.
Well, A&T's out, so.
Right, so they're going to, so that opens up an at-large spot, which is key, because if you, and again, we'll get into this more next week when we talk about the conference previews. But you basically have to finish in the top two. Obviously, you finish first, you get your automatic bid. But you need to finish in that top two. And you need to beat South Dakota State, UNI, and to me, Southern Illinois. You win two of those three, you're in.
Again, UNI has some horrid starts to start seasons, though.
But they're not playing out of conference.
That's true. But I mean, then they usually get going, then they usually beat the Jacks, and they're off and running. But it's just like, they have some horrible starts to seasons. They start 1-4 to start, and then of course they end up finishing 8-4 to end up in the playoffs. I mean,
but we'll have that'll be an early test for, because, and again, Valley preview next week. But
yeah,
South Dakota State and UNI play that first weekend.
Oh, they play first weekend
of conference play.
Wow,
that, on February 19th.
Nice.
So that, to me, is going to play a big, big role in how the rest of the season goes. Because whoever loses that game is in a real hurt
bag.
They're
in a pickle to start the season.
They are. But, they are.
But again, going back to they might lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
When Trey was just announced the starting quarterback, it was supposed to be a rebuilding year. They might lose 2 to 3 games. They went unbeaten. This team returns most of the team from last season.
Not the key pieces.
Not the key pieces, I understand that. But when you have as much depth as the Bison do, you have guys that can step into that spot and play just as well. I've seen this the last 8 years or whatever it's been. And by the way, you win your conference, all your conference games, you are the new record holder for longest winning streak in NCAA history. 47 by Oklahoma, you get to 48. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
Go 1-0 this week.
Keep going 1-0 until you get to 48.
So that's where we're at. The overall, and we'll do our predictions next week, but I'm not quite as confident as you are that they will go through this unscathed.
Said this with Trey. I'm not worried about it.
This ain't Trey.
I know it isn't Trey.
So I don't think you could just make a... I realize there's a Bison homer in us all, but
yeah.
I think you have to be realistic that one of these games, there's a realistic possibility they are going to lose. Now, is it going to happen? Not necessarily. And I feel as long as they get through the valley, you know what I think of the rest of the FCS.
Yeah, it's garbage.
That. It's probably it's a lot of hot garbage.
It's the CAA and the Big Sky, and half the Big Sky isn't even playing, so I'm not even really worried about it.
Yeah. So that's kind of our overview of the Bison roster and where we see some concerns, some positivity. It's not like they're going 4-5.
No.
You know, this is going to be a team that is going to get in the playoffs. They are going to likely be seeded. And it's really, again, going to come down to which teams out there are going to challenge them. When we get together on Monday, we'll talk about the Valley. And I think, again, like I said, the first conference game that is on the schedule right now is South Dakota State and Northern Iowa. It's on a Friday night, February 19th. Sign me up for popcorn for that one, because I will be watching that one very, very carefully to see who wins that one. I think it's going to be fun, and hopefully we'll get a chance to at least, you know, see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that game to me is huge to start out. The other games that are, when we'll get into the first week of the conference season, but I think you're going to find out a lot about teams like Southern Illinois and UND. They play the first weekend.
If UND wins, I'm disregarding Southern Illinois from the jump if they lose that game.
Yeah, that's a game I think, even though it's in Grand Forks, that I would fully expect
Southern Illinois. If UND wins that game, you cannot sit there and tell me Southern Illinois would put up a fight against the Bison.
But then you can't count out UND as a
seriously.
We'll get into it more next week when we.
Okay.
Well, I've said that eight times.
Quick question to end this show.
Yeah.
Does ESPN broadcast any games?
I don't know.
They should. I mean,
why? College basketball will get better ratings. It'll get on the Addition, but will it get on the big ESPN? I don't know.
Will it get on ESPN?
It'll get on. Well, they have the TV deal with ESPN3, so it'll get on ESPN3. You know, I don't know about if it'll get on shit you don't watch or if it'll get on, you know, that kind of stuff. But at some point, I think when the basketball inventory is out in March, that might be when you start seeing it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll know who the good teams are.
Because then the tournament starts, CBS takes everything.
Right. So you'll need some counter programming, and that's probably where we head in for that. So there you go. The Bison football review, if you will, to start the year off, and we'll kind of take it from there and see where we go. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. It's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And you can check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina for always, forever and always will suck. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat, @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram, @Legend_Mammoth_pod. It's @Legend_Mammoth_pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. DM us, please, and subscribe to YouTube channel.
All right. Monday, we'll break down the Missouri Valley. We'll go through the schedule. We'll make our conference predictions and see where we wind up. Even you and Macomb, COVID-infested Macomb. And we'll see how that goes. And then next Thursday,
we'll blow up the pool.
The FCS Top 25 and the Youngstown State Preview. It's all FCS all the time. Bisoner basketball's off this weekend, so that's all we've got to do is preview football. Hey, enjoy your weekend. We'll see you President's Day on the Legend of the Longhorns.